Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I know we talk a lot about Hebrews when we talk about faith, and we're going to talk about faith. I want to continue talking about Christmas traditions, the legacy of traditions. This morning, I'm going to focus on the legacy of traditions. Hebrews chapter 11, reading the first six verses, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were made and framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and thought it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he please God." Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that testimony? Yes. They please God. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." I want us to keep this in mind about having faith and the legacy of tradition. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, O God, for your word. We pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us and upon, Lord, upon all of us, our ears to hear. Lord, anoint this vessel that stands before your precious people. That, Lord, I will speak according to what you have prepared. Not what just is written on a page or prepared, but God, just let me follow your anointing and your leading. Lord, I just want to please you above all things. And God, I just pray, let your will be done and let the Holy Spirit lead us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you. I want you to think about this for a moment. Last week we were talking about traditions that we remember. And we talked about how we, you know, prepare traditions and setting up traditions and everything about traditions. But also think about the traditions that follow us. And what are we leaving? And I kind of left off with that last week about what are we leaving for those that come behind us. And what are you passing on to those that are following you? What will be said about you when you are gone? If the Lord so tarries, what would be said? You know, we read it in Hebrews, and you could read on in the book of Hebrews. There, it's known as the faith chapter because it goes through and talks about a lot of heroes of the faith. What they did, how they stood. And I think back, I'm thinking today, is what would the chapter be said about us? What would the chapter be said about this generation? About the faith that we have and the legacies that we leave? Because I believe if ever there's a time for the children of God to leave a legacy, it's now. If ever there's a time for those that are following us, and when I talk about those that are following us, I'm talking about those that are younger than us, those not just in age, but in the Lord, what are we leaving then? And what kind of legacy are we setting up? It's not about us being remembered, but it's about them remembering the Lord. Amen. It's about them knowing that as mom and dad trusted God, as grandma and grandpa followed the Lord, and God, you know, we've seen God never left them or forsaken them, and God was always there. What is going to be said about us? I remember when my grandma passed away, and I talked several times about her, and you will hear me reference her a lot because she had such a great influence in my, not in my young life, but in my ministry. And getting started, and I knew her. I mean, I met her. She did come to visit, but I was in California. She was in Missouri, and I didn't really see her a lot until I moved to Missouri as a young adult. And that's when really the influence, and it was just a heavily influenced in my life. But I remember when she passed away, and the comment was made, not just by one, but by several. Because when we needed prayer, we always called Granny. prayer. You know, when you called her to pray, that woman was going to pray. And when she passed away, the comment was made, who is going to pray for us now? And who's going to be that spiritual warrior? And it hit me really hard. Thinking, you know, yeah, because I always looked to it, but you know, I always looked to Grandma and Granny always prayed, and I always looked to that spiritual covering. But the Lord really, it really hit me. The Lord hit me with the thought, spoken word, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's like, it's you. You now must pick up that mantle. You now must pick up that leadership role. And how we've looked to those older us in the Lord, and you know, to be that spiritual covering, to be that spiritual guide, or be that spiritual warrior for us, or that prayer warrior. And when they're gone, we wonder, well, who's going to do that now? And when we just got to stop and look in the mirror and say, it's you. The world is falling apart. And what are the people of God doing about it? Hello? The world is in chaos. Our nation's in turmoil. The nation is divided. And what is the church? What are the people of God doing about it? We talk about prayer, but are we really praying? We talk about getting back to the basics of God's word, but are we really reading the word? Honey, talk is cheap. The Bible says, be doers of the word. And I believe it's time. And we wonder why young people aren't following in our footsteps. Why aren't they being attracted to the church? It's because we have neglected the responsibility that had been placed at our feet. We talk about the power of God. We talk about the good old days and how the power come down. Well, where's the power hasn't diminished. The source of the power hasn't faded. It's the conduits of that power have removed themselves from the connection. It's us. We got so caught up in life, we forgot the source of life. We've got so caught up doing the things of God, we have forgotten God. We've gotten so caught up doing church, we forgot about being the church. And there's a legacy that you and I must be mindful and intentional to leave for the next generation. I grew up seeing the power of God move. I grew up seeing and remembering the beehives being shaken down when the Holy Spirit hit them and, you know, bobby pins fly. I remember that. No, we don't have bobby pins and we don't have beehives, thank God. I don't know, maybe some of you ladies want to go back to that. I don't know, but the fact of the matter is, I remember the power of God. I've still seen glimpses of the power of God even today, but it's not as common as it once was. And the reason is, we get so caught up in schedules, we forget about God's. There's a legacy we must leave. Traditions are not just about a gift or an amount you spent, but it's about the relationship and what you value and what memories you really pass on. Think about what, you know, last week I talked about remembering. Think about what you remembered, what you thought about. And the reason why it came to your memory and came to your mind so quickly is because you valued it so much. What are we leaving now for our children to value, for our children to look at, for our grandchildren to quickly come to mind to them? Is it the things of God? Is it God's house? Is it the ways of God? Is it the stories of the Bible? Is it the stories of God or the testimonies of God? You know, Revelation says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. If we don't testify, what does testifying do? It is telling the things of God. What God, not something we don't know or something we don't comprehend. It just simply says, I'm telling what I know. And if all I know is Jesus loves me this I know, for the Bible tells me so, then honey, you begin to sing that and talk about it and share that, because that is so profound and so powerful. But if we don't testify, we don't talk about it. Testify means it's coming out of here. Nobody can share your testimony like you can. Nobody has your testimony but you. Some grew up in church, praise God. They didn't stray. They didn't go out and do wild things. Okay, great. That's still a powerful testimony. It speaks of the keeping power of God. It's just as sweet to hear that somebody that went and was delivered from whatever, it both testifies of God's saving grace. And we need to share that. Let me throw this out to you. Does your kids or your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, do they know your salvation story? Do they know how you came to the Lord? And do they know why you value God so much? Think about that. You see, part of the legacy is knowing the journey. How did you get there? I mean, how many of us has looked in our past, our thank you. Your forefathers. There's another word.
You know you get tongue-tied, I know.
How many of you really looked at your past, where you come from? I remember reading, you know, years ago that the Pharaohs actually, lived in Kentucky. And I went the other day, found an old email that I had, and found out, you know, up here close to Cincinnati, and then they went down the river down toward Paducah. And I thought, okay, cool, so I do have Kentucky roots. My great grandfather, yeah. So not too far removed. We look at our past, we look at our ancestry, I'll get that, got it, ancestry of where we come from. And if you look at that, okay, yeah, that's kind of cool. How, you know, and look at your forefathers and, you know your family history. But does our kids know our history? Do they know where we come from? Let's go back. Do they know what we've come from? Do they know what God has done for us? Do we testify to them? I'm not saying you got to have a sermon and, you know, 3-point sermon, and you got to have songs and offering. You know, come on, kids, you're going to sit around. No, just how many ever had a parent or grandparent or great grandparent share a story with you of their past? I miss, now that my grandparents are gone, I miss those stories. Amen. I miss hearing the stories. I know my grandpa Farrell, he'd tell stories all the time. And he'd tell the same ones over and over. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, grandpa, I've heard that about 5,000 times, but now I wish he'd tell it I could hear it one more time. You see, if we don't testify to the goodness of God, they will never hear it. They will never know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if we want to build their faith, and part of our job as the spiritual leaders, the spiritual elders, is to help build their faith. That comes by the word of God. That comes by our testimony. Sharing the goodness of God and the word of God to them to help build their faith. You see, faith means believing in Jesus, whom we've not seen, in the face of conflicts that we do see. That's what faith is. I'm seeing the things staring me in the face. I'm seeing my mountain. I'm seeing my obstacle. But I'm trusting, and I see that, but I'm trusting in the God who I don't see, that he's going to help me distance and as at great expense to come and worship a baby
who hadn't done one thing yet. And they followed a star. They followed a star to bring lavish gifts to a child. That's faith.
That's faith.
Are we portraying to our family? What kind of legacy are we leaving? What kind of legacy of faith are we leaving to them? When we're gone, will they say, if the Lord tarries? Will they say, Mom and Dad was a man or woman of faith? They were a man or woman of God. I mean, how many call you up to pray? I know my kids do. Mom and Dad, we need you to pray. Help us pray. That's great. Because if they weren't calling me, I'd be nervous. Yeah. Brother Joey, I think I'm good. How can I call myself a minister or a man of God if my kids aren't calling me up to pray? Because if they're calling you up to pray, they know you know how to get a hold of God. If they're not calling you to pray, well, we'll just leave it right there. Number two, hurry up, Pastor. Number two, we need to look at the legacy of time. You know, it's amazing, years ago, how time just seemed to kind of it went by. And I even said this last week, you know, as kids, it seemed like Christmas took forever to come. And as adults, it seems like you're saying, oh, is it here already? You blink and it's Christmas time. You blink and it's over. I thought that the other day, I thought, oh my goodness, I told Jerry, Friday, I said, man, 2 weeks to Christmas. I mean, I said, when did this happen? It's here. I want a few days just to sit down and just kind of chill for a little bit. But I like just to sit down and, I don't know about you, just sit down and just enjoy. That cold, rainy or snowy day or whatever, just sit down and just kind of have a down day. I'll get it somewhere. Christmas Eve, right? We'll get Christmas Eve. But time is one of the most precious resources, yet one of the most wasted. Think about that. How many of you have ever said, I wish I had the time? But then on the other side, you'll say, man, I wasted that. I wasted my day. Time is something we don't have control over. Whether you want it or not, time marches on. Those birthdays keep coming every year. I told Sherry, she goes, I'm not having one this year. I said, whether you want to or not, it's coming. Just like, and we should celebrate birthdays. Sure. I don't care. I know, you ladies, you don't want anybody to know your age, and I'm not going to tell her age. I will not do that. I know which side my bread is buttered, but, but time goes, whether we want it or not. Time marches on. But what are we doing about redeeming the time?
Right.
I share about my grandparents. I remember as a young boy, I'd go the summer. Mom worked,
was a school cook, and she worked summer school. And for the elementary school, and of course, we really didn't go most of the time to summer school. And I'd go spend the summers with my mom's parents there that lived in the same town. And he was a mechanic. He worked from home. So I'd go help him in the garage. I'd clean parts and do whatever. Organize things. Help him organize things and spend time with him. And I thought, first as a kid looking back, I'd go, man, I hate doing that. But I'd look back and think, that was time I got to spend with my grandfather. And of course, he'd be working on stuff. And he'd get aggravated. And he was Swedish. And I don't know, any Swedes in the house? Anybody got Swedish roots? Okay, good. but he would get aggravated, he'd throw a wrench or something, get mad because it wasn't working right, and then he just, as soon as he threw it, oh, I'm sorry, Chuck, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Grandpa shouldn't have done that. It's just the way he was. He loved the Lord, but he had a temper about that long, you know. But I look back to those times, I look back working with him and just having that time. And my grandma in England, and just, you know, just having that time with my family. And
like a lot of us,
just having that time. When we think sometimes it's a waste of time, it's not really. Because they took the time. I mean, Grandpa could have said, don't bring him. You know, he's not really, you know, but Grandpa wanted that time with me as well. I know now with my kids, when they come in, I want to make the most of that time with them. You know, I don't get to see them as often as I used to. Just like with all of us, when family come around, we love to spend time with our family. I remember as a parent taking my kids to practice, and you know, ball practice and band practice and any activity. Lord, I felt like that. I didn't have a life. I pastored a church, but I felt more like the taxi to the kids. And I get so aggravated because I have to get up early and take them to band practice, and you know, and then pick them up after school because they had to stay late for band practice and do all these things. And then I look back now and I kind of miss those times. We'd laugh, we'd cut up, we'd make fun. Of course, you know, some were, you know, one of our kids was not a morning person, and she just, I'd always make fun of her. Because it took her a couple hours just to get her motor started, it seemed like. And I'd make fun of her because I'm a morning person.
But it's that time.
Of course, we make time, not just because I pastored, but we make time for the Lord. My kids understood that, yeah, there's no band practices on Sunday. If it was, it fit between the services. There was no band practices on Wednesday. They would go to no practices or nothing on Wednesday. That was just it. You were at church. Church was a priority. That time with the Lord, that time with their brothers and sisters in Christ, that time at church was the, not a priority, the priority.
Amen.
So many times we get caught up and, you know, we would move heaven and earth for our kids and, you know, okay, we love our kids, we'll do anything for them, but sometimes we would take that, you know, I've seen parents take church time, well, you can miss this. And what that does is that tells them that that time is not important.
Amen.
Church, God is either important or not.
Yes.
That's all there is to it. If he's not a priority, then why are you coming?
Hello?
Yeah.
If he's real, and if we have a real relationship with him, then we will make him a priority.
Amen.
You know, there's an old saying, when there's a will, there's a way, right? Many of us, when we were kids growing up, we didn't have the money to do something. What did we do? We found a way to get the money to make it happen. We sold, we mowed lawns or whatever. We did odd jobs to make it happen. Hello? You worked your tail off just to get the money to do whatever you want because you had a motivation. So if there's a will to serve God, if there's a will to love God, if there's a will to follow God, we will find a way to follow him, to serve him, to love him, to nurture that relationship.
Yeah.
Just like with us, with our spouses, we will do whatever. We'll work overtime just to do things, to, you know, have the money to take a vacation or do whatever. When there's a will, there's a way. There's got to be a will, an unmovable will in our life, to where I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. I'm going to take the time and I'm going to leave a legacy of time to serve the Lord and so that my family understands that time with the Lord is precious.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes, I'm going to... time is getting away. Yeah, time is getting away. Let me read it real quick. Ecclesiastes 3. I think I got it up here.
Real quick, let's go through this real quick.
I want you to look at this.
To everything, there's a season,
every time for every purpose under heaven.
A time to be born, a time to
die,
a time to plant, a time to pluck. What is planting? A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones. A time to embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, and a time to lose. A time to keep. A time to throw away. A time to tear. A time to sow. A time to keep silent. Hello. A time to speak. Hello. Sometimes we get those backwards. You'll get that later. A time to love and a time to hate. Oh, Pastor, we ain't to hate. Yes, there is a time to hate. I
hate sin.
A time to war. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift from God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is already been, or has already been, and that which is and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. I want you to think about that, especially that last part. God requires an account of what is past. You know what that means? God's going to give an account of your time.
You're going to answer for your time.
What did you do with the time he gave you? We can sit and we can cry. We can moan.
We can have
ourselves the best pity party there ever has been. Or we can get up, put our big boy britches on, and realize that God is in control no matter what's going on. And testify the goodness of God and lead our families in the ways of God and lead our family to the house of God and to teach them that God is greater than a COVID virus. God is greater than any evil upon this world. God is greater than anything, because what God does is forever. Amen. It's a matter of making the most of the time. Everything revolves around time. We eat on time schedules. We get up. We kind of have some of the same time we get up or we go to bed. Everything falls. But in that, in our schedules,
where
is the time for God? Do we spend time in his presence daily?
For some, this
is the only God they get. I'm so sorry to hear that, because you're missing out on some of the greatest opportunities that you have in your personal time with him. Are we leaving a legacy of time? Third, I gotta hurry. And that's a life of integrity. What's integrity? Integrity, one definition is the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles,
moral uprightness.
Some would call it ethics, having good ethics, virtue. But honestly, integrity is doing the right thing when nobody's around. Amen. That's integrity. Being a Christian 24/7
pastor's not around, you know, so I guess I can do this. And nobody's watching, so I can do that. That's not it. Integrity is about doing right no matter what. Because we realize, even though man can't see, pastor can't see, my church can't see, we know God still sees. He sees all, he knows all. We can fool everybody in the church, but we'll never fool God. We'll never fool him.
The true character of a person will come out. When they're tested, when they're tried, when they go through adversity. Hello? Remember one time, we were in New Mexico, and we were kind of getting things set up. One of the guys in the church, and something happened, and I ain't going to go into all the details. Something happened, and he was right there, and he kind of slipped out some words, he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor, that just slipped out." And of course, I know some, think Pastor's never heard a bad word in his life. And I used to work with truckers, okay? And if you don't know, truckers have a very colorful language. People used to say, cuss like a sailor. No, I've heard worse from truckers. But, I kind of laughed it off and went on. But the truth of the matter is, nothing just slips out. What goes in will come out. Hello? What goes in comes out. The old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Think about this. Because this really speaks about a life of integrity. When you are faced with your greatest adversity, what is the first thing that hits your mind and your heart? Think about this. I don't mean to get mean, but I believe that this COVID thing is a test of the church. You've heard the statement, and I've said it, and several others have, faith over fear. Some say, "Oh, this is the greatest pandemic to ever hit mankind." Actually, I disagree. You look at other history things, the plague was a very devastating in its time. There's other pandemics and other widespread illnesses that really hit, that really did more damage than what this has. But yet, when we're told by the world, listen to me, we're told by the world to fear, why do we fear when we know who's in control? I understand. Pastor, this COVID's real. I get it. It's real. But I looked up the other day. I don't know if I shared this up or not. I looked at the Kentucky numbers.
because of this. They have no hope. They have no life. They have no future when the people of God have the answers for the world. But you see, the integrity is when, in the midst of this, what is coming into our heart? Fear? Or faith? Are we a powerful Christian that serves a powerful God? Or are we preaching that our God is powerless, and so are we? Praying, we pray. And I get it. I've told her time and time again, you know, be careful, be careful, be careful. My son, he's got issues. Be careful. He goes to school. Are you careful? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're being careful. I get it. I'm not faulting people in the church that, you know, need to kind of watch themselves if they're sick or whatever. No. But if we can go to Walmart, we go to the dollar store, we go to the grocery store, we go, well, we can't go out to eat, but we get out, we go to church. Hello. I know it's hard, Pastor, you're hard. But you see, here's the point. All right, let's bring this in. Here's the point. Our actions tell a story and leaves a legacy. You follow me? Talk is cheap, but our actions will talk louder than our words. We can say, I love God, I believe God, I trust God, but if we don't follow what we say, our actions will cancel out everything we've said. Let me wrap this up. What will you be remembered for? What are you going to be remembered for? Let me bring this home. What do you want people to remember you for? A man of God? A woman of faith? A person of prayer? Or, well, they're just a good old boy. They're just a good old boy. We think that's
instill the faith like I'm supposed to. We may never get our names in a book about being a hero of the faith like Hebrews 11 does. But I'm not living to get my name in a book. I've got my names in some book. I've had a few published works. Okay. I've had some recognition. You're here today and gone tomorrow. Okay. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But here's the thing. In Hebrews, it said this. Enoch. What was Enoch known for? He pleased God. That's my motivation. Where I please God. That my children, and whenever they come along, my grandchildren will see that mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, they were men and women of God. That's all. Pastor Chuck was a man of God. Sister Sherry was a woman of God. They were people of faith. They were people of integrity. That's good enough for me. Because if I do that, if we do that, if you do that, then we've done our job and we've left a legacy for others to follow. Think about Christmas. Sister Bernice, come on up here. Music team, come on. Sister Bernice said something about Christmas early before service about, we make sure, she was talking about my tie, and, of course, I'm sure y'all can see that from back there, right? And, it's got the pretty white wigs and the Timothy tie, and I got different Christmas ties. I got solid Santa Claus on. I got a snowman. I got Christmas ties. People bought them for me. I haven't got one. I think I still got it. Pooh Bear? I got Winnie the Pooh on one. Oh, I got rid of it? Okay. I have Winnie the Pooh back here. Christmas, I mean, Santa Claus, snowman, it's all fun. It's all great. We got snowmen, we got Santa Clauses in our house. But I don't worship them. Of course, the story of St. Nick is very great. But Christmas is about our Savior coming to earth. That's what Christmas is about. Santa Claus represents giving gifts, okay? We should be giving gifts all the time.
Yes.
The gift of salvation, the gift of deliverance, the gift of joy. Peace.
Yes.
There's a lot of gifts you and I can give, but also the gift of our legacy for others to follow. Stay with you this morning. One final point. In order for there to be a legacy, there's got to be a path. Others can walk that path. Think about this. Real quick. Think about this. How did people come to Kentucky? How did they get here? They came from over the mountains. They came from New England. They came from the 13 colonies. Your family came over here. There may have been some that came up from the south, but most came over the mountains. How did they get to Shreveport, Missouri? How did they get to Missouri? People continued to go. Explorers, trailblazers, pioneers. Somebody had to decide.
somebody had to decide to go all that way, across these mountains, across the Mississippi. And if you haven't been to Colorado or the Rocky Mountains, those are even bigger mountains. Then you got another set of mountains, the Sierra Nevadas. Somebody had to blaze a trail. People to follow. You're a trailblazer. You're following the path of your parents or your grandparents or somebody in your family that followed the Lord. Maybe you're new. Maybe you're first-generation Christian. You're a trailblazer for others to follow. But all of us have a path we're following and laying down for others to follow. How clear is that path? How clear is that for them to follow? Father, I just ask you right now,
Jesus, yes, Lord,
that in the name above every name, Lord God, I pray that we understand the legacy that is involved in our life. A path for others to follow, a path that we follow. I pray, God, that we're mindful of what we're doing. And we just take a moment right now and take this day, this service, this opportunity to take stock in what are we doing. What kind of legacy are we leaving for others to follow? God, help us. Speak to us today. Speak to us and help us to know that we become and we are mindful, that we are intentional about being men and women of integrity, men and women of faith. Men and women that are redeeming the time that you have given us to share the stories, the testimonies of God, how you have brought us through many storms, many trials, and many adversities. God, you brought us through. Let us share the times that we're and how true it is that you've never left us and you've never forsaken us. Let's be mindful about that, Lord. And God, may it be said. May it be said of us. We please God.
Amen.
Lord, I want to please you. Have your way right now, Lord. Let us be sensitive to the Spirit right now in this time. And I just want to take this time opportunity, if you're here today, and say, Pastor, I want to get my path cleared up. I need to come back and clean some areas up and make sure that I've not been that person of integrity. I've not been redeeming the time, and I've really not shared the faith like I should. I want to invite you around these altars and just take a few moments right now and say, Lord, I really want to, God, I want to leave a good legacy for those that are following me, for my family, to say that I'm a man or I'm a woman of God. And if you're here today and you need special prayer, I want you to come and stand. And we're going to gather around you. We're going to pray. We believe in prayer. We believe in healing here today. And we're going to pray. So right now, come on, right now, just take this time and this opportunity. Come and pray. If you need special prayer, come on, come stand. We don't want anyone to leave this place without the Lord speaking and touching you today. Come on, as they say.
Now little David, oh so small, Goliath stood so tall. Odds were just too high for little David. So he shook off all of his load, for with the power of God he was clothed. He said, the battle's not mine, giving it to you, Lord, it's thine. The battle's not mine, said little David, Lord, it's thine. I'm in your favor, giving it all to you, Lord, for I know not what to do. I'm so glad you let me see, Lord, you're really all that I need, cause the battle's not mine, giving it to you, Lord, it's thine. Now little David, unafraid, before the giant he stood that day. It seemed like the end for little David, but like the lion and the bear he slew, he said, Goliath, you've come down too, cause the battle's not mine, giving it to you, Lord, it's time. The battle's not mine, said little David, Lord, it's thine. I'm in your favor, giving it all to you, Lord, for I know not what to do. I'm so glad you let me see, Lord, you're really all that I need, cause the battle's not mine, giving it to you, Lord, it's thine. Now little David, he stood tall, and Goliath, oh so small, sweet victory had reigned. Poor little David, cause he gave the battle to the one with the record of getting things done. He said, the battle's not mine, giving it to you, Lord,